All right, everybody, this is Patrick, and you are listening to Man vs. Mob Radio on 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. So I'm on every Monday night at 7, and my guest tonight is my good friend, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Hold on, can you, now you can be heard.
Thanks.
I believe the same thing happened. Nope.
To Celine.
There we go.
Thank you for now you can be heard. Pat. There we go, I can hear my voice. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Okay, so we were just talking before about how you had to evict a tenant this past week, right?
Is that correct? Yeah, that's actually correct. So for those that may not know, I am a new landlord. Acquired some property the past couple months with a buddy, and we inherited
it. Just so you know, you might need to pull the mic a little closer.
And we inherited that's a better, tenant yeah. that we did not want in the property. So they did not want to leave on their own free will, or at least they claimed they were trying to. And we had to go through the court. The court system was our solution for resolving this.
That sounds like it could be kind of brutal.
Yeah, it's tough. It's costly. It's time consuming. It's causing stress for the tenants who, socially, economically speaking, are not on the same level as me, which I feel bad about. They're on disability. They're not employed. So I know it's causing stress in their lives. So we're trying to work out some type of agreement that kind of works for both parties, for the landlords and for the tenants. So what we came to is a meet in the middle in terms of rent. The judge signed off on it. So we've essentially given them like 6 months though. So we've given more than enough time for them to figure it out.
There's no way it ended this amiably. You are painting this in a positive light, I'm sure, because no court proceeding goes like that.
Well, when I... So we signed an agreement last week. We went to court on the 3rd, October 3rd, mm-hmm. which is last Thursday. This past weekend, I went to go collect the rent that was agreed upon based off of our court agreement. And they definitely put up a little bit of a stink. They opened the door. Well, first they left a note on one of the doors. We have somebody that's helping us out with the properties on the 3rd floor.
Mm-hmm.
They left a note on that saying...
Oh, by the way, it's always good to have somebody on site who can...
It definitely helps out. It definitely
lurk
helps
around.
Out for sure. Especially if I want to go away on vacation. Like I was in Canada a couple weeks ago. So to have somebody that was able to help me with the property, it certainly makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're there this past weekend collecting rent. They had left a note on one of the doors saying... Tried to leave rent, nobody answered, oh well. And I was like, okay, why would you write oh well on a note? It sounds like you're being a little...
sounds like kind of passive aggressive or
attitude,
something like that.
Yeah. And then I went down to their unit and I knocked on the door and they opened it. And he immediately presented a receipt for me to sign, which I was a little sketched out by. So I read it carefully and signed or wrote my name on it, just acknowledging that I received the checks, not mm-hmm. that I was agreeing to whatever they were on there. And then I took a photo of it. And then his...
Hold on a second. I just want to say that I am a fan of your meticulous nature because you've always been very, from what I recall...
Am I
very
wasting
good.
Too much airtime? Just tell me.
No. I'm just interrupting to say that what you just said about, taking the photo and having everything ready to go, you've always been very good at keeping records. I'm terrible at that.
I do think I'm really good at documenting the things that I do. It's because my background's in public accounting and auditing, so it's kind of like the nature of the beast. You have to be thorough with your documentation because if your work's ever scrutinized, you need to be able to read it and know what you did and then vouch for it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the law classes I took in college. Not that I went to law school, but I took a couple law classes undergrad.
Yeah, but you go to you use that at the bar. You pretend like you went to law school. That's where it matters.
That has
right?
never happened. We have talked about Supreme Court cases at the bar, but I try not to misrepresent myself. anyway, just quickly to finish the story up. So they were just kind of giving me a little attitude. One of them called me a prick. One of them said that they thought I was rude in court, which I was not even the one speaking in court. I was off to the side watching.
That's why
was,
you were rude, because
yeah.
you should have been speaking.
Perhaps. And then to finish it off, they slammed the door and said, F you. I was like, okay, well, hopefully only 2 more months of that, so.
So, see, that's the story that I kind of anticipated. That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there are some headaches that come with being a landlord, but they can be avoided. We're learning. We know what to do next time to mm-hmm. avoid this type of headache. So
a story and a lesson.
It's
all you can ask for.
Exactly. It's not detrimental. It's not going to put me in a bankruptcy. It's not going to yet, at least. So I really, it could be a lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good right now. So
Good attitude. Yeah. By the way, if you need the outlet, it's on this side of the table.
Right, I actually found an outlet over here, but thank you.
Yeah, there's an outlet shortage.
And can you hear me okay? Because I can't hear myself in my headphones. You can hear yourself, okay. As well as you can hear, as I can hear you.
Yeah. I don't know what's causing that, so...
Want to try mic 3?
Yeah, let's switch over to mic 3.
Mic 3, this is a test.
Sounds way better.
Much better.
Glad you noticed that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love hearing myself talk, so.
Excellent. So,
surprised we have any callers call in to let us know that we were having some technical issues.
Good reminder. Okay. So, the line is 855-915-9636 and for those of you who are unfamiliar, I've only had a couple episodes this fall semester so far and a couple episodes during the summer, but this is a free-form show, so there's some music, there's hopefully going to be a lot of call-ins and conversation happening in studio and all that. So if you want to call in, make a recommendation for a song or a topic or make a comment or ask a question, any of that stuff, something that's bothering you, something that you find interesting, any of that. So once again, the studio line is 855-915-9636. And I got a good piece of advice last week that I was not saying that number enough during the program. So I'm going to try to say that more. I'm going to try to say the name of the program, which is Man vs. Mob Radio, more frequently. And I'm going to try to say my name, which is Patrick, more frequently. And the guest is Ryan. So I have a little bit of a story from the last week, too. And I think I should preface it by saying I'm going to shrink this part of the story down. But basically, back in June, I left a full-time job as a mechanical engineer. I've sort of been doing this gig economy thing for the last 3 or 4 months. And one of the jobs that I took, let's see, last week was to get rid of a bunch of, part of the job was to get rid of a bunch of debris, trash, waste off of somebody's property. It was part of a bigger job. And I don't know if you know what a transfer station is. Have you ever been to a transfer station, Ryan, or do you know what that is? It's like a big waste facility, essentially. Okay. Some of it is recycling, some of it's just trash. So I went to the Danvers transfer station.
I've not been to one. It sounds pleasant and beautiful.
It is repulsive. Well, obviously it's repulsive, but so there's this giant building over, you go in onto a giant scale, you get weighed, and then you drive up.
The vehicle does?
The full vehicle gets weighed. And then you drive up to this massive building. You can't really see around the edge, but you see this giant, you know, like those mining vehicles that are basically 2 stories tall.
Yep.
It's borderline one of those. It's a giant dump truck that is going in and out of the building, pushing presumably this giant pile of trash. And you see all these seagulls all over the ground. I was just thinking, this guy's going to run over all these seagulls. Seagulls were smart enough to move, but basically I was foolish enough to be parked there with my windows down. So I went around the corner and the cab just filled up with that. And
new truck, right?
That air is like semi-solid with all that particulate matter, it's like, I think I established earlier that I think I can say shit. It's like,
well, if shitty, you can, it's too late.
Yeah, shit. It's like shitty vomit. That's what the smell is in this entire building. So yeah, I had to pretty much drive around the entire rest of the day with my windows down.
I'm curious a little about this process, though. So you go in with a full load, they remove it, or you have to remove it yourself?
You have to remove it yourself.
Okay.
And you have to basically stand on the ground, which is completely laden with a semi-fluid, which is basically every bit of trash
Hopefully
juice.
Hopefully you're wearing work boots.
I was wearing work boots, but still.
Not your Louis Vuitton sneakers or anything?
No.
Good.
So yeah, and then obviously you leave, and they just take the net when you drive over the scale again.
Well, how much do they charge per pound? Or
there was an $80 minimum fee if you're not from the town.
Oh.
So it's 10 cents per pound otherwise. So that would be like 800 pounds. And I think I came in at 500 pounds. So.
That's interesting. Well, and do you have to disclose if there's any hazardous materials or
no.
How does that work? Refrigerators?
I mean, maybe.
Or?
I probably would have if there actually were hazardous materials, but they didn't even ask. So
just lugging around wood.
I'm probably getting somebody at that facility fired right now. Sorry about that.
It's leaking into the Danvers water supply.
Exactly. So I think that a transfer station is something that everybody should visit at some point in their life. It's pretty nuts.
just to
or just a giant
gain an understanding of like the trash infrastructure.
It's just one of those things that you. It's like visiting a sewage treatment plant. It's like what happens once I flush my toilet and it disappears.
Just good this general just knowledge seeing, to have, exactly because it's all behind the scenes and we're fortunate we don't have to deal with most of the smell. Maybe if you lived in the suburbs, sometimes you'll have a sewage tank in your backyard or something. You don't have a like sewage underneath the streets like you might have in the city. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, you're right. You probably wouldn't have much of an understanding of how that stuff works.
Pretty much. Now I want to go to the Deer Island waste treatment plant.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of having a dirty job spinoff show. Or just...
You know, I wonder if that's been done before.
Spinoff.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. I was going to play a couple songs, unless you had another story that you wanted to bring up right now. We do have time. I don't have to play songs, but...
No stories right now. What were you thinking for music, though?
Well, I put together a playlist earlier in the day, and I usually put together about 15 songs.
Nice, okay.
And the first three on the list are Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd, The Chocolate by The 1975, and 99 Red Balloons by Goldfinger, which, have you ever seen the movie Eurotrip before?
Maybe, but 99 Red Balloons is my vote.
Okay. Well, I was going to play all three of them, I can start with that one.
Start with that one.
All right.
I might not want to listen to three songs.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
What's the number to call in case anybody wants to call in while you're playing music?
Good call. It's 855-915-9636. And once again, my name is Patrick, my guest is Ryan, and this is Man vs. Mob Radio.
Set them free at the break of dawn, till one by one they were gone. Back at base, bugs in the software, flash the message, something's out there. Floating in the summer sky, 99 red balloons go boom. Money.
red balloon. It's all over and I'm standing pretty in the dust that was a city. If I could find a souvenir just to prove the world was here, and here it is, a red balloon. I think of you and let it go.
All right, we're back. We're skipping that third song. That was kind of a weird tail end to that song anyway. It's just wind. So anyway.
I miss hearing our voices too much.
What was that?
I said I missed.
Oh, you're mic three. See what happens? All right, there you are. Okay.
I missed hearing our voices too much. We're back.
I'm going to keep messing up. I'm sorry. Every time you say something.
People get to hear the joke like three times from a distant microphone that's picking it up.
Yeah, every time you say something witty and in the moment, you're going to have to just repeat.
It's ruined.
All right, so it's PSA time. Ryan, what do you got for us?
I got a pedestrian safety PSA. So on February 8, 2019, Allison Donovan was killed as she walked through the crosswalk in front of the West Somerville Neighborhood School on Powder House Boulevard, two blocks away from Tufts University. So Tufts students, please listen up. After fatally hitting Allison and injuring her companion, the driver sped away, stopping later at a restaurant for drinks and dinner, and then Home Depot to buy materials to hide the damage to his truck's body. Sounds like a scumbag. Walking is one of the safest forms of transportation usually, but pedestrians need to pay attention to their surroundings, especially when crossing streets. Even if you have the walk light or other clear right of way, you really need to check both ways. And if you have headphones in, okay, Apple AirPods, Beats headphones, you're really disabling one of the most important senses, one that you need for survival. You need to be able to listen.
Taste.
You need to be able to hear what's going on around you. We generally don't have to worry about predators anymore, but vehicles, in a sense, are a predator. They're a threat to our well-being. It's critical
depends
to comprehend.
What you mean by predators.
Yes, predators in more than one meaning. You want to be able to listen to creeps lurking down alleys and vehicles lurking down the street.
Exactly.
But just to finish up this PSA, don't assume that a car is going to stop for you. Always make eye contact with the driver. Okay, that's one good way to know that they see you. And make sure that you see the vehicle slowing down before you attempt to cross. It's critical to comprehend some people really don't care that much about your life and would drive away if they hit you. And it's unfortunate that that's true. Thoughts are with the family. This happened relatively recently, February 2019.
That is really sad. And that was an exceptional reading. Okay,
thank you very much. I was going to say, I've been guilty of crossing a road and kind of just like darting into traffic, assuming that I'd be able to stop in time or that a vehicle would be able to stop in time. Luckily, nothing bad has happened.
Yeah, I should be dead.
It's especially dangerous when you're kind of walking into something that's blocking the view of the pedestrian. So, like, if you're kind of like walking out into the street from behind a car or a truck, and let's say the driver may be paying attention to an intersection they just went through. They're not maybe looking for a pedestrian to dart out from behind a vehicle. So you do just got to pay attention to it. And I see it all the time. I see people with their headphones in walking all the time. And it's especially annoying as a driver. I mean, this is kind of coming from the opposite perspective. You see pedestrians who just walk right through the intersection and they don't even like look at your vehicle. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, I mean, you really, they are putting a lot of faith in me as a driver.
Yeah. Well, so I think the same thing should go for bicyclists right now too. I've definitely come across quite a few bicyclists that think they're vehicles.
So the problem with the bicycling is if you're not used to driving in the city, which I was not prior to moving to the city a few years ago, there's not a lot of bicyclists who are going to sneak up on the right side of your car. So you might be taking a right turn. Okay, naturally, you're looking to your left because you're looking for other vehicles that might impede in your lane of space.
Yeah.
But you could totally cut off a bicyclist. So I always, now I know, I mean, I always check that right mirror as if I'm on the highway making a lane change. You just got to check it. And also, this kind of applies to the same idea as always check twice to save a life for motorcyclists. They're so easy to get in your blind spot. Just look over that shoulder two times. And I know the assisted driving technology now that's in your mirror tells you when something's in your blind spot. It's not perfect though. It does help, but don't get too reliant on it.
I just turned that off at the beginning. I don't trust it. So the new lanes on the roads, I don't know if you saw in Somerville, they have these big red lanes which are for buses and bikes.
Yeah.
So they're slowly adding new infrastructure or new lane markings and things like that. But just because it's on the road or because there's signage doesn't mean that people are following it, particularly when it's a new thing. So I think some people go, oh, well, it's on the road. So obviously, like, okay, yeah, in a court, that would, you had the right of way or whatever. But if you just get run over, then...
yeah, courts use those. I mean, if you get some serious injury from that, right, you're paralyzed or you end up with a serious disability. You might win it in court, but you've really lost because you're seriously injured and no longer... be able to live the way you were hoping to live the rest of your life.
You won in court, but you lost in life.
Yeah, lost in life. What I was going to say on that, though, is also the people that are designing the roads, I think, I don't know if they ever do focus studies with the ideas that they have.
Definitely
this is reminding me of the Wakefield Rotary, you know, how they just redesigned
it. Just roast that.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, I don't know. I'm clearly somebody very intelligent, because it does make sense logically, but I don't think it makes sense, like if you logically were to think about it, but I don't think it's intuitive to the average person, especially if you're used to a normal rotary where there's not lanes that disappear.
It's just a cluster F dash dash K, if you know what I mean. There's so many lines on that, and I'm completely in agreement with you.
But at the same time, it's kind of fun because it's just everybody's just like, oh, it's lawless out here. We'll just do whatever we want. Wild Wild West.
It is the Wild Wild West. Just don't hit anybody. The Wakefield Rotary is the closest thing that we have to the Wild Wild West right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of good content in that PSA, so good job. Did you have a separate PSA that you wanted to...
The PSA that I was going to bring up was the motorcycle thing, because
good job. You really...
I used to have a motorcycle, and I was trying to find a PSA when I was going through it that was applicable to this. When I used to drive a motorcycle, there were three or four times where I was on a highway next to a vehicle, and pretty much if you're matching the speed of any vehicle around you, you're jeopardizing your safety, because if you get into their blind spot, you stay in their blind spot, which is why it was always my goal when I was driving a motorcycle to drive a couple miles per hour faster than everybody so that I wasn't in a blind spot for too long.
I like to drive blind spot to blind spot. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is the creep lurking that we need to look out for. By the way, sorry for listeners. I'm riding the tail end of a cold. So
I think people like raspy throat. Voices. That's what research shows. Research that I just made up.
Yes, empirical. That's
right. All right, well, I'm going to now play one song, because I'm realizing that the whole three-song thing is kind of stupid. So I'm going to play two-song thing that we were doing before. So I'm going to play the song that I didn't play, which is Chocolate by the 1975.
Chocolate.
So, all right.
Play cool. Oh, you said we go.
We are going to get a drone in the studio to do some live streaming from, because I think that you standing up, taking photos,
the selfie,
craning,
you know, like the selfie arm.
I think that we have to get
drone
some
would be
intense
cool,
technology.
But if it
here.
Gets out of control, we might be missing some eyes. Mm-hmm. Eyeballs might get injured.
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of a danger.
Also need that one of those sensors. It helps you cross the street as well. So,
yeah, that's you're going to tie in everything.
Not that it can't be done, but. I'm used to having this.
Hey, everybody listening, if you want to join the conversation, if you want to recommend anything or just tell us to switch the topic or roast us or whatever, the number is 855-915-9636. This is Man vs. Mob. I'm Patrick. My guest is Ryan. And the song you just listened to was Chocolate by the 1975. And Ryan, let me ask you, are you familiar with Billie Eilish?
Because yeah, she's hot. She's hot right now.
She is blowing up my satellite radio station. Like, I think maybe 5 hours of daylight radio time is dedicated to Billie Eilish.
Wow.
And concerts of hers.
How old is she?
I don't know. She has a spooky voice. That's the adjective I would use to describe it. It's kind of haunting.
Maybe we
should play.
I
like her music, but it's kind of a little spooky.
Maybe we can work in one of her... It says 17 years of age. Just Google it. 17 years old.
That's pretty crazy. She could make a great Halloween soundtrack.
Is that the Halloween party? The Halloween party.
It's spooky.
Ooh, yeah, should we make a public service announcement for the Halloween party that we're having?
Maybe would be ill-advised.
It would be ill-advised.
That'd be crazy.
Too many people would show up. Yeah.
That's like an American Pie thing that they would do. I don't know if you ever saw American Pie, but it sounds like something they would just put out an advertisement for a party. Yeah. Okay. So,
I do not like her style, I have to say. I'm looking at what she's wearing.
It's new. Oh, her
like
actual
her personal taste, yeah.
Style.
Well, sometimes. Actually, she looks good in some of it. She looks a little dark, emo, gothic. It's
yeah, she doesn't really look like what she sounds like, I guess I could say. I think her brother is actually a musician.
That could
too.
Just be her the talented. Featured photo on
They're
Wikipedia, though. Maybe that's not accurate because it looks like there's some other images where she seems a little more.
I have to say, based on the live concerts that play on the, I think it's Alt Nation is the radio station that I listen to. She's very charismatic.
Have you seen any interviews with her? Yes, you have.
Yeah, she was just on Howard Stern.
She seems like she would give me like Aubrey Plaza. Vibes. Like
I thought you liked Aubrey
weirdness.
Plaza.
I love Aubrey Plaza.
Okay, so
she's my Hollywood crush.
That's interesting.
Totally
found that out for the first time recently.
Yeah, I found. I don't know what I saw her in first. It was some movie, I think, with.
Is it old grandpa?
Yeah, that's exactly one.
Sad
is
grandpa it, or something.
Is Robert De Niro
yeah,
in it?
Zac Efron.
Yeah, that's where I first saw her in.
Yeah.
And I mean, she has a sexy role in that, so maybe that's why I found her appealing. But then I also see her in or saw her in Parks and Rec, which I'm not actually completely. Through
she's pretty,
that,
pretty Debbie Downer in Parks and Rec.
She is, but it's kind of funny because like you can tell she's holding back a smile. I like,
yeah.
So when you don't want to just be lazy and you really kind of want to put thought into thoughtless shows, mm-hmm. I like kind of looking at the expressions on the actors' faces because sometimes you can see that they're holding back. Like it might be a group conversation and something funny is coming up, and you can kind of tell that some of the actors are holding back a smile. It just doesn't look like a natural reaction or an acted reaction, I should say.
It's like an improv thing.
Yeah, so I'll see that in The Office sometimes. You can tell. And then you'll know because you'll be able to find bloopers of that scene where that actor or actress was indeed breaking character because they were laughing and stuff.
But. Sometimes it's even funnier and hilarious when everybody just breaks character. There's this one clip from SNL where it might have been the Welshly Arms bit where they were in the hot tub and it had Will Ferrell and I believe Jimmy Fallon too. And Jimmy Fallon just cannot keep in character. He just keeps cracking up because of Will Ferrell. It's pretty hilarious. So yeah, it's infectious. But Aubrey Plaza, interesting. All right, do you want to introduce the next song? You recommended it.
I did. So this is a new song. I believe came out just last week. It's called 10,000 Hours. It's featuring Justin Bieber by Dan and Shay. So
awesome. And if this is terrible, then now it's all on you.
You can blame Ryan.
Yep.
Do you love the rain? Does it make you dance when you're drunk with your friends at a party? What's your favorite song? Does it make you smile? Do you think of me? When you close your eyes, tell me what are you dreaming? Everything I wanna know at all. I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn.
grew up on? Did you get your middle name from your grandma? When you think about you forever now, do you think of me? When you close your eyes, tell me what are you dreaming? Everything I wanna know it all. I'd spend 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm gonna try. If it's 10,000 hours or the rest of my life, I'm gonna love. I'm gonna love you. Ooh, want the good and the bad, everything in between. Ooh, gotta cure my curiosity. Oh yeah, it's been 10,000 hours and 10,000 more. Ooh, if that's what it takes to learn the sweetheart of yours. And I might never get there, but I'm gonna try. If it's 10,000 hours or the rest of my life, I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna love you.
Well, okay, that was a pretty good song. Good choice.
Thank you, thank you.
I was completely unfamiliar with that song before that.
Yeah,
I might listen to it again.
While you were playing that song, though, I was kind of looking into why Billie Eilish does dress the way she does, and it seems...
Is she blind?
17.com, 17 magazine, they're reporting that she stated at one point that the reason why she wears baggy clothes is so nobody can have an opinion about her body or sexualize her. So I kind of like the reasoning behind that.
Mm.
I'm just saying that it's not really my style. I'm not saying she needs to show more skin per se, but
that's interesting.
But at least there's a reason behind it. You know, it's not just her taste. It's more about
she's talented, she's and she has a message.
She has a message, exactly, which is important because she probably has a lot of younger fans too. So I think that's a good thing for them to hear.
Oh,
especially
I think so.
In an age where
it's like the Beatles. She's like the Beatles of today.
I look at people. My younger sisters have friends on Instagram who are younger, middle school, high school, and you see the way that they dress
provocatively.
It's more provocative than. And I think it's just because it's in their face so much, they feel like, you know, to be pretty, this is what they have to wear, the parts of the body they have to show,
makeup
they have to wear. It can definitely really change your perception of the world, especially when you're just seeing that day to day.
I completely agree with your analysis of that. And I was just talking with somebody the other day about how creepy it must be to be a chaperone at a school dance.
Oh, yeah.
These days. Oof.
I would imagine that there's it's necessary to
stepping
have,
in between horny teenagers.
Yeah, no. I mean, I would be worried as a male. I would be worried. I would always want to make sure there's another teacher with me whenever I was having an interaction with a student, male or female.
You'd have to have a poking stick, like a long poking stick, a sharp one. Hey, you, get away from her. Get away from him.
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, this is Man vs. Mob Radio. I'm your host, Patrick. My guest is Ryan. And the call-in line is 855-915-9636. Whatever you want to call in and say, you know, try to make it somewhat, I guess appropriate is the word.
But
not vulgar.
Well, it doesn't have to be vulgar, but...
Use code words.
But bring up anything. I mean, we'd love to have a discussion here about literally anything. It could be totally off topic, so...
Exactly. Yeah, we clearly don't stick to topics very, very well a lot of the time. So, if you have a music request, we take those too. So...
Begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly, because this is not about music. That's a sideshow. So, it should really be about talking. Anyway, I told you earlier that I wanted to bring up the gig economy because that's a big buzz phrase, and I think it was
But I gotta be honest, out of all my friends, you're the only one that uses it. But it is a buzzword.
It is a buzz phrase. It's gonna become a bigger buzz phrase. But didn't you say recently that there's actually, okay, I guess I should explain what the gig economy is first. So it's this whole concept that it's not just the single job career of your parents and grandparents' generation that is going to continue into the future for the primary economy. It's going to be companies tilting more towards contract positions over long-term employees, and it's going to be essentially people having several jobs at once rather than
the gig economy. I mean, I think everybody's going to be familiar with like Uber drivers are obviously, it's kind of gig work, up side jobs.
That's like the limited analysis of it. I think it's more based on, it's going to make more sense because there's less job security and less in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, it was more likely that you'd have a pension and you'd stick to this career ladder, getting promotions and things like that. And there was more loyalty between company and employee. But now I think it's, all right, how can I have numerous streams of income, which is smart.
Sure.
And also, I think automation is going to, not right away, but over time, you know how in the news there's the conversation about endangered species from global warming? Mm-hmm. I think that with automation, it's like endangered professions. And just like the endangered species, they say it's accelerating. I think that the number of professions that are affected by automation is accelerating. So in the past, you'd have, chimney sweep, milkman, cartographer. These are professions that no longer had relevance, right?
Yeah.
But I think moving forward, it's going to be more professions more rapidly are going to cease to be relevant.
I guess the question is, will it be at the peril of human well-being, or will it kind of advance society? I'm sure some people, there'll be some friction. There'll be people who are losing jobs, but it will make some people whose jobs they're not losing be able to perhaps be more efficient. So
I agree.
I know Andrew Yang is obviously big on this AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And human jobs maybe becoming phasing out or becoming more obsolete in certain industries like retail, truck drivers. But he brings up a good example, which is like doctors. AI, when making medical decisions, computers could analyze thousands and thousands and even millions of X-ray films or MRI films, whereas human beings, if they were to do it as is currently done, if doctors are currently doing it, they can only maybe get through a couple hundred in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So this would aid doctors in being able to make more informed decisions more quickly.
Yeah.
It could also allow...
If they adopt it, if there's not this resentment towards the technology.
Sure, sure. But it could also allow people who don't maybe have the same credentials as a doctor, who don't have as much schooling, to be able to still make accurate diagnoses,
mm-hmm,
because of the technology. So, and Andrew Yang brings up how there are places throughout the middle of the country where being paid for a doctorate doesn't pay as well as if you maybe lived in a coastal city.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, naturally the doctors want to get paid as much as they can. So if you go to school in the Northeast, what would really be the incentive for you to go work out in the Midwest if you're going to get paid more working on the West Coast or the East Coast?
Yeah.
So he says, you know, this AI technology essentially could help bring more, they might be less educated, but they could still make pretty well informed decisions and interpretations of like medical films and stuff.
I'm by no means a cynic when it comes to this.
And thereby bring better healthcare, mm-hmm, better healthcare providers to places where it's needed. So
I'm really happy that he's bringing that up, that conversation up. I think it's extremely important. So whatever happens with his candidacy, I am really happy that he brought it up. But yeah. I'm not a cynic about this stuff. I'm pretty optimistic about it. But nonetheless, I really do think that it's something that has a level of discomfort to it, right? Because it's disruption. It's kind of moving from an old way of thinking to a new way of thinking, and there's a lot of uncertainty that comes with that. So there's a sense, I think there are mixed feelings of disruption, displacement, and for some people, a sense of irrelevance. Like if you're older and you, for example, you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily as familiar with the new technology, and it's much harder to keep a pace with it.
That's where gig economy work, I think, is actually really important, because that's going to help those people who maybe where technology is making their jobs more obsolete or their skill set more obsolete, rather than them having to go learn a new skill set, which might not be feasible if you're in your 50s and you're ready to retire, or in your 60s.
Yeah, you can't redefine yourself at that point.
Exactly, kind of like everybody says. You know, you're not going to learn coding if you were an automobile manufacturer or something.
Yeah.
But the gig economy work like where companies are creating kind of marketplaces to match up people who have a need. So let's say people who have like an item, like a car.
Mm-hmm.
With somebody who's willing to drive it and somebody needs to get from point A to point B, so you can match somebody up. So if you own a car, essentially you can be a gig economy worker.
Yeah.
You can,
I think people get, but the only reason why I kind of turned away from Uber and Lyft at the beginning when you mentioned that is because I think some people get bogged down in those examples as if the gig economy is only something related to sort of like lower level work, yeah. Unskilled work.
I mean, there's obviously other skilled work, but I mean, yeah. Is there any particular examples? Like, clearly, like for instance, if you need a shed built in your backyard, and you want to hire somebody,
and that's still sort of, it's more skilled, but it's, I just think that, for example, the book, The Gig Economy, the lady that wrote the book, she does speaking, she does, research, and she has a professor job, and she has all these different things going on. So it's kind of whatever you are. It's not like saying, okay, well, you're a CEO and you should have a side hustle as an Uber driver. It's at whatever position you are in the economy, you can have other jobs at that level, at different levels, theoretically. It's not just a okay, have a side hustle as an Uber driver or an Airbnb.
When I think of the gig economy, I think of it as opportunity. So let's say you kind of are, your goal or your preference is to have a more stable job where you're working for a corporation. Maybe that's something that people are comfortable with and they desire.
Yeah.
I see gig economy work as being a kind of crutch in a way. So it's like it is a security in its way. Maybe you don't have pensions anymore.
Yeah.
But because it's there as an option, if you were to lose your job, at least you have a means to make an income. And there's plenty of apps and technology that can aid you in doing that.
Sure. It's supplemental, right?
Supplemental. Yeah. It's a supplemental income. And so that's actually, so I'm a CPA, and part of being a CPA, you have to maintain, you have to have a certain amount of education. So continuing professional education credits that you earn on an annual basis to renew your CPA license. So one of the lessons I was doing, one of the studies I was doing, is looking at the gig economy, and I was analyzing independent workers, and it was kind of like looking at the percentage or the breakdown of people who are independent workers who work for themselves, those who are doing it just for supplemental income because of it being their preferred choice versus it being out of necessity. So, I mean, I have a printout here. I just want to kind of read it. So people who do it as a primary income by preferred choice is about 30% of independent workers. On the opposite side, people who do it as out of necessity for primary income, they're kind of labeled as the reluctance. That's about 14% of people.
Okay.
But total, people who are doing it out of choice is about 70%. 70% of independent workers is kind of doing it as a choice, working in the gig economy.
Hey, that's good.
Whereas the remaining amount are doing it out of some type of necessity because they need the supplemental income or because they need it as primary income. And so I imagine those are the people where it's going to be harder for them to learn a new skill set, or they don't have the means to kind of re-educate themselves. And that's where I think it's kind of important to have the gig work. But then you hear about companies. So I go to Uber just because I feel like it was the one that's most in our faces and has really aided, or has really made my life like so much easier, and like everybody around me, like everybody uses Uber that I know uses it like 5 times a week at least.
Yeah.
But they're, I think, eventually want to move toward using automated vehicles rather than humans, because humans are more expensive than automated vehicles in the long run, which is kind of a bummer, because it's like Uber is what they are because of human beings that were willing to put in the time and effort to grow the company. Not that they are growing the company, but those human beings helped create what Uber is today. And now Uber's successful, and now they're kind of like trying to make them. They're saying, "Oh, well, now we're going to get better technology that doesn't make you guys necessary." So it's kind of a bummer. But I do think there'll ultimately be other, I hope at least, there'll be other things for humans to do. And if there's not, and if it's truly causing a lot of friction in our economy, where there's a lot of people losing jobs, then I think it probably would be necessary or time to really take a hard look at the universal basic income proposal that Andrew Yang proposed, or the freedom dividend, as he calls it, $1,000 per month for every human being.
Just talking about it right now is really an important first part of that.
Yeah, which is an interesting concept. I kind of like where he comes from with a lot of the things. I don't necessarily agree with it, quite yet, but...
Yeah, I don't necessarily... I'm interested in if other candidates start to talk about it, too, and different versions of it, potentially, yeah. Stuff like that. But, okay, so...
And is the author Marion McGovern?
Yeah, I always forget the name, but it's a great book. It's a short one, too. So, didn't you say recently that the actual value of the gig economy, the government has no means of actually assessing it? So, it's sort of a secret...
So I think
economy.
I don't know if I said this, but the problem with estimating, like, so when they're looking at GDP and stuff, they're basically going off of numbers that get reported. Mm-hmm. But if you're an independent worker, sometimes they're not reporting all of their income, especially because they generally have to incur higher taxes out of their own. Like, so generally, when you work for an employer, well, the employer is picking up some of the taxes on your behalf. So
I know exactly what you mean. I'm doing this right now. I mean, I'm not hiding my income. No. People recommend that. They go, oh, yeah, you know, you could just hide part of your income or not report that. So
right.
Yeah.
So you might be paying tax, and you don't have any control over ultimately what gets reported, because your employer is going to report what you're making to the United States Treasury. But if you're an independent worker and you go, I mean, I don't know, let's just go say you write a paper for somebody, you kind of have control over whether or not you want to report it. Mm-hmm. Now, so you could say, okay, I made, or... restaurant industry, I know this happens a lot too. So those are the types of labor that's, or it's revenue, it's money people are making that's not getting reported, kind of technically, because they're choosing not to report it. Mm-hmm. But it was actually, this is interesting, when I was in Canada, I went to Canada a couple of weeks ago, as I said, and they actually, on their restaurant receipts, they're required to print a barcode that helps the government track all of the income and gratuity that is collected at restaurants throughout, I don't know if it's, I'm assuming it's countrywide. It's not like a Quebec thing. I was in the province of Quebec, but
I'm a big fan of Canada.
There's like every single restaurant. Are you?
Yeah.
It's sorry.
He's sorry.
Wearing a sorry t-shirt right now with a maple leaf on it. It was just interesting. I was talking to the the server about it, and she said it was actually really helpful. So one thing I never really thought of is, if you're an independent worker, you don't have official documentation showing how much you make in a year other than your tax return. Mm-hmm. So if you're not reporting your income accurately, when you go to apply for a loan, let's say to get a car or something, or a house, you don't have the same things that I would have if by working for a corporation, like a W-2, where you can show, say, hey, this is my pay stub type of thing. So this policy, or this new law that's implemented, the technology that's implemented in Canada, it kind of it's forced upon the employees that work in the restaurant industry. They at least now have like physical documentation that shows how much they're making. So while they have to pay more taxes, or they have to declare everything, they at least...
It's a trade-off, because they could
now they can participate in other like financing. Yeah. And not being able to partake in financing does inhibit you from kind of being able to do more entrepreneurial things. So I think in a way it might be... It's good. I think it'll help.
I think so. It's something that people don't think about early on, but it's really important. Yeah. So there you go. That's kind of another PSA for all you college kids out there that aren't even thinking about this stuff yet. And they're going, what the hell are they talking about? Good to think about this stuff. All right. So let's close it out before I play the last song, which I don't even know what it's going to be yet. But before I play it, do you have anything else you wanted to say, Ryan?
We're at the end of the show.
Yes,
so sad.
The closing remarks.
I want to say thanks for having me, Pat Man V Mob. This is a great radio show, great podcast. I'm happy to be a part of it. This grassroots, the beginning of something hopefully wonderful and great. So
absolutely,
thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You are invited back anytime. You are a great guest.
Thank you. You are a great host.
Charismatic. Okay, so once again, closing out. This is Patrick. This is Man vs. Mob Radio. My guest was Ryan, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And the last song that I'm going to play, let's make that Riding Shotgun by Kygo, Oliver Nelson featuring Bonnie McKee.
Temple. hate your teeth in my-